This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Schools across West Virginia are starting to restrict phone usage in schools, and early reports are positive.
We see the cell phones being put away. I think it's building that human connection that is lost so often with technology, and it's really positive.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. StoryCorps records the stories that matter to you, and their national mobile tour is currently in Huntington. Randy Yowie has more.
The StoryCorps Airstream is parked on the Marshall University campus with its recording studio at the ready. The independent nonprofit believes that everyone has a story to tell. 12 million NPR listeners hear StoryCorps stories weekly. All recordings go to public access files in the Library of Congress. StoryCorps mobile facilitator Sam Burkrot says Huntington recordings so far have ranged from West Virginia history to personal and social issues. He says StoryCorps has no agenda.
That can be the work they do in the community. That can be how they met a loved one. That can be even just family history.
StoryCorps is at Marshall until October 4th. For information on how to participate, go to our website, wvpublic.org. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Randy Yowie in Huntington.
At least temporarily, Amtrak's Capital Limited is getting a new name and a new destination. Curtis Tate has more.
Starting Sunday, November 10th, Amtrak passengers in Cumberland, Maryland, Martinsburg, and Harpers Ferry will board the Floridian instead of the Capital Limited. And instead of ending in Washington, D.C., the train will continue on to Miami. Amtrak is combining the Capital Limited and Silver Star trains temporarily to accommodate a tunnel reconstruction project in New York. The trains will continue to originate and terminate in Chicago. They will be numbered 40 eastbound and 41 westbound. Functionally, not much will change. The trains will operate on a similar schedule at the same stops. Passengers will, however, be able to get a one-seat ride to Florida. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
More than a dozen states across the country have been dealing with hoax threats being made against schools. As Chris Schultz reports, officials in West Virginia continue to monitor the issue.
According to the West Virginia Department of Homeland Security, 216 school threats have been received statewide since September 5th. Those threats have impacted schools in 38 counties, with close to 80 distinct schools named. Jack Leichhardt is the director of the state's Fusion Center, a collaboration of multiple agencies to centralize information and maximize investigative capacity. He said Thursday that students making threats as a joke do not understand the severity of the situation, and an informational campaign is the next step.
And have a prosecuting attorney and a law enforcement officer go to our schools, hold an assembly, and explain to the students the penalties associated with making these threats.
More than 20 people have been arrested in West Virginia in connection to the threats, many of whom are facing felony charges. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
As temperatures cool and respiratory illnesses become more prevalent, state health officials are urging the public to get the latest versions of their vaccines. Emily Rice has more.
Autumn, or as the Department of Health calls it, respiratory season, is rife with coughs, sniffles, and chills as kids go back to school and the weather changes. That's why the department is urging residents to remain vigilant against flu, COVID, and RSV by receiving the latest dose of the vaccine for each illness. On August 22nd, the FDA approved an updated COVID vaccine designed to protect against evolving variants. RSV vaccines are available for adults 60 and older, those who are pregnant, and infants. According to the CDC, all flu vaccines for the 2024 to 2025 season are formulated to protect against three different flu viruses. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Variable cloudiness today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. Rain and thunderstorms are possible tonight, tomorrow, and tomorrow night. Lows in the 50s and 60s. Highs today in the 70s and 80s. Tomorrow in the 60s and 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by Bowles Rice, a full-service law firm celebrating 100 years of contributing to the success of our clients and the vitality of our communities through advocacy, counsel, leadership, and service. And by the Kanawha County Public Library, providing more than books with its Idea Lab, Tool Library, KCPL Cafe, and Digital Technology. Information at kcpls.org. Smartphones are often presented as modern tools that offer us the world's knowledge at our fingertips. But the past several years have proven they can also be a serious distraction to all age groups. As Chris Schultz reports, schools across West Virginia are starting to restrict access to smartphones in the hopes of directing students' attention back to the front of the classroom.
But then x squared minus 1, it's x plus 1, x minus 1.
On a recent Tuesday morning, Melissa Farley's math class is hard at work. There are notebooks and pencils, a projector displays formulas on the board, and Chromebooks are open to calculators. But one device you won't see in Farley's or any other classroom at University High School in Morgantown this year are cell phones.
And let's face it, no matter what I do in a classroom, how engaging I try and make it, if your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your best friend or even your parents are texting you about something, I'm not as exciting as that. And the math I'm talking about is not as exciting as that.
Monongalia County Schools is one of three school districts in West Virginia that has implemented some form of smartphone restriction this school year. Farley says just 1 month into the year, the change is obvious.
We just had our first assessment the other day, and my grades were through the roof in comparison to what they've been in the past. And so I really have seen it academically that they are using their time in class very wisely, which should make their life at home better. It should give them more free time because they can get their stuff done at school.
University High School senior Daniel Grabo says he's also noticed a difference.
I wouldn't really say it's a punishment, but rather something to keep me focused, and it's honestly worked. I've definitely been more focused throughout the last few weeks than I was, I think, all year last year. So,
across the country, close to a dozen states have either implemented or considered implementing legislation to restrict phone usage in schools. More broadly, almost one in four countries is introducing bans on smartphone use in schools, from Côte d'Ivoire to Colombia, from Italy to the Netherlands. That's according to the 2023 Global Education Monitoring Report from the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, better known as UNESCO. The UNESCO report advises that technology should only be used in class when it supports learning outcomes. The report specifically points out the potential for distraction, but also the possible risk posed to children's privacy and mental health. Monongalia County's practice is one of the strictest, requiring students to lock their phones into yonder bags, which can only be opened magnetically at the school's exits at the end of the day. Eddie Campbell, Monongalia County School Superintendent, says having no access ultimately takes all the pressure off the students. He says beyond classroom engagement, social pressure was another factor the county considered when restricting smartphone access.
We obviously can't do much about what happens outside of school hours, but we felt very strongly that in order for us to regain some of our ability to help students develop positive relationships with their peers in school, we needed to eliminate some of those negative components of having cell phones, the internet, social media available during the school day.
Different counties have taken less restrictive approaches. In Ohio County, students place their phones in a container by the door during class, but are otherwise free to access them between classes and during free time. Meredith Daler is the principal at Wheeling Park High School. She says the social positives of restricting phone access are already visible at her school.
Even in the lunchroom, we see the cell phones being put away, even though they have access to them. We see the cell phones being put away. I think it's building that human connection that is lost so often with technology, and it's really positive.
She says one of the only pieces of negative feedback the county received from parents was their students not having their phones during an emergency. Part of the reason they ultimately allowed students to have phones between classes.
So we felt like this was really striking a balance between having, you know, cell phone free instruction in the classroom, but also having access to their phones in an emergency.
Gamble says Monongalia County schools are well equipped to address security issues without students accessing their phones, something first responders have said can actually create more confusion in an emergency situation.
We want students following and listening to directions. We don't want them being distracted by being on a cell phone. These are all safety procedures that we practice and we talk about. When we do drills in schools, we don't let our kids, prior to the yonder bag, we didn't say to kids it's okay to get on your cell phone and communicate with your parents. Even though it's a drill, we practice it like we want to do it in real time.
Berkeley County Schools is the third district to implement a phone restriction this year. Students can only use their phones before or after school and at lunch. Roland Branch, Assistant Superintendent of Pupil Services, says small things like monitoring students so that phones aren't used between classes or the use of secondary devices like smartwatches has posed minor challenges. But his county will review the policy as the year progresses.
That committee has principals, it has teachers, service personnel, parents, other members of our community on that. So we'll get a variety of perspectives on that and then look to make changes if any are necessary as we enter next school year.
Interest in restricting cell phone access at schools is growing in West Virginia. The topic has come up at more than one State Board of Education meeting this year. And while Governor Jim Justice expressed support over the summer, he said the decision should remain at the local level. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
Good morning. I'm Brittany McGuire, Education Specialist here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and I'm here with Autumn Meadows, Director of Education.
Woo-woo!
You've been listening to West Virginia Morning, and what a wonderful show to educate, inform, and inspire by telling West Virginia's story. Now is the time to take that important step and support independent journalism and powerful storytelling. Become a sustaining member with an ongoing monthly contribution. To do that, you can go to wvpublic.org or 1-800-RADIO-87. No matter what happens in West Virginia, you know that you can turn to WVPB's newsroom to quickly cover the stories that impact your life. That's why your support of WVPB is crucial. You'll help ensure WVPB has the resources to cover whatever happens in the year ahead.
WVPB continues to grow thanks to member support. You can count on WVPB for even more in-depth coverage of West Virginia and the region. This is not a luxury, it's a necessity. It requires your support to thrive. With your critical support now, WVPB can remain committed to providing essential journalism for everyone in our communities who rely on it. So take a few minutes now to join us with your contribution at wvpublic.org, or you can call or text 1-800-RADIO-87.
That's right. Member support has never been more important than it is right now. It's your support that makes this critical public service available to everyone in our community. If you've never been a member, join in with an ongoing monthly sustaining contribution.
A sustaining membership is going to be an ongoing monthly contribution that you can make automatically. So once you set it up, your monthly gift becomes a stable source of support for the stories you love on WVPB. Whether you're hearing about these hoax threats that are happening in schools, or maybe the restrictions that you're hearing that schools are doing for students with their cell phones. It's important, and it's happening here. It's happening in West Virginia, and you're able to listen to that because of the service that we are here to provide for you, and we are able to provide that service to you because of your membership and for your contributions for us. There has never been a more important time to stand up for the factual, fearless journalism. You insist on truth, transparency, and accountability. Now is the time to back WVPB's commitment to freely providing news and information to everyone in our region. So please, if you have been hesitant before, or maybe you are a sustaining member and you want to increase that amount, please do that now. Do that today. at wvpublic.org or by calling or texting 1-800-RADIO-87. And I actually hear if you become a sustaining member for a mere $5 a month, you have access to our streaming passport.
That's right, Autumn. An ongoing contribution of $5 per month gives you access to Passport. Passport is a streaming service that you can watch anytime, anywhere. And on Passport, you can watch currently airing PBS shows and films. There's also a ton of great dramas on there. There's some great documentaries, an entire Ken Burns collection.
Oh, yeah. He is a busy man.
Yes.
And extremely informative and important. And he teaches you so much. He definitely goes with our mission of educating and informing and inspire. So please, yes, you get access to this streaming, and they have a masterpiece, and that's going to be a series of dramas. You got British dramas, you got some investigative dramas. There's so much that you can get with Passport. So please become a sustaining member. A mere $5 a month, have access to Passport. Go to wvpublic.org.